Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Police Commissioner William Gross are in the studio with us today to discuss summer violence in the city of Boston. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to have you here. And also with us in studio is Boston Police Commissioner William Gross. Commissioner Gross, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me back. Thank you.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Have you been impacted by the violence in the city this summertime? What do you think the city needs to do to prevent further violence? And if you live outside of Boston, is this an issue in your community? And what steps is your community taking? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We're also taking questions and live streaming this conversation on Facebook Live. You can find that video on our page, www.radioboston.org, and our Facebook Radio Boston page. Mayor Walsh, Commissioner Gross, you have some important announcements to make about the city and summer violence, so let's dive in. What do you want to share with our listeners?
Well, one of the things that we're doing in the city, and we've been doing this last couple of years, is looking at our street worker program and revamping the program. We had a street worker program in the city of Boston. We had another program that the Boston Foundation had founded.
Street Safe. Yeah.
And what we decided to do was that funding was ending, and we were thinking about our program people working the right way. So we created through the street worker, it's the formerly known as the street worker program, a program called SOAR, Street Outreach Advocacy Response Teams. And you know, the work is in its name. It's all of those included that people do. They're out there advocating for young people and with young people. They're out there responding to acts of violence. They're out there responding to shootings, and they're advocating. They're doing a lot of different things out there. And we just appointed a new director this week. Her name is, I'll tell you in a second, the new director in the street worker program, Talia Rivera, who previously worked at Boston 10-Point Coalition. Talia has experience, knowledge on the streets.
Excellent choice.
She is amazing. We're looking forward to it. We're going to have a new number two person, and we're revamping the whole system the way we do it. It's about building trust. We can't expect the police, and nor should the community expect the police to do all the work. And having this SOAR program out there, working, advocating on behalf of people in the city of Boston is really important in building trust.
So I want to acknowledge I actually worked with Ms. Rivera for several years at Boston Rising, and she's an outstanding community
choice.
Member. Yeah, she's terrific. So why make this change to a new leadership? It sounds like a little bit different structure, a different name for the program.
We've been working this way a couple of years now. The old street worker program had relationships with the police. I'll let the commissioner talk about that. It wasn't always strong. When I say strong relationship, there was always kind of some people doing the job really well, some people just kind of doing the job. And now we really want to focus on getting people into the street. We need to use every single tool in our tool belt to make sure that we go out there and address the violence in the city. And a lot of times, I mean, we're talking about violence right now. A lot of it, though, is preventing the violence. It's preventing bad choices by people. And I think that when you did the lead into your segment, you talked about violence in the city and how do you fix it and how do you work on it. I think that, you know, we have to also look at what are the causes of violence and how do we prevent it from happening in the very beginning. I think that that's something that's really important. You know, if you look at the stats, the violent crime is down, homicides are down from this time last year. One homicide, those too many, and that's our goal is to get to zero. Our shootings are up in the last couple of weeks. Overall, we're a safe city, but when you say that to somebody who lives on a street that had a shooting, well, they don't feel that way. Or they have somebody that was killed in their neighborhood, they don't feel that way. And I think that we're trying to do everything we can to prevent the violent act from happening in the very beginning.
So there's a lot to unpack there. I want to start by Commissioner Gross. Maybe you can explain for our listeners who may not know what a street worker program is and why it's an important part of the overall landscape.
Well, our street worker program is actually made up of individuals that know the community. They're from the community, and some have been formerly incarcerated. Some I've dealt with in the past, us versus them, police versus those who had taken to a life of crime. So when people change their lives around, they have credibility when they bring the message to show people that you can go from a negative to a positive. So quite frankly, your street worker program is an outreach to young men and women that are at risk for joining gangs, folks that are in gangs, and folks that are committed to acts of violence that could start pretty much gang wars. But our job and their job is to prevent crime and prevent our young men and women from joining gangs. So the street worker program is a necessity for Boston. In the past, it was a combination between street workers from the Boston Foundation and the existing street worker program from the city of Boston. And we're thankful to the mayor that he's let everyone revamp everything.
And combine it.
And combine the two to where we have the best talent on the street. No slight to anyone, but you want the best folks on the street that, number one, have the power of communication, a strong network within the community to identify individuals that need our help and to identify individuals that maybe we can help change their lives. So this street worker program is just a part of the collaborative that the mayor has for the city.
Mayor Walsh.
We're going to have 42 positions working in the summertime between 4 p.m. in the afternoon, 12 a.m. Those are key times. Some in the past, we might have been doing 9 to 5 in some areas. So we're focusing on kind of the more active times in the city. We're also working to make sure that we provide the SOAR programmers with opportunities and key resources they need and understand what's available. So it really is it's a mindset change. And I think in the competition, as the commissioner mentioned earlier, when you have two competing programs, they shouldn't be competing, but they do end up competing. In this particular case, there's no more competition. We're all working in one way to do whatever we can on the streets of Boston.
Listeners, we're speaking with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Police Commissioner William Gross about summer violence and the new SOAR program that they're announcing today. We want you as part of the conversation. What do you think? Call in at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's take a couple calls. We've got Philip from Medford on the line. Philip, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was curious about the policing aspect of the current response. I know that maybe in the past or maybe currently Boston uses CompStat. I think it's some sort of
yes.
a system that correlates minor crimes with felonies. I was curious to know if it's being used and if there's if
Great
it's
question.
Working. Do you see any correlation in the current environment?
Great. Thanks for that, Philip. I'll let the commissioner answer your question.
So CompStat's an acronym from computer statistics. So every 2 weeks we have a meeting with all of the district captains, and we have 11. And the captains from the specialized units and also the bureau chiefs on the command staff. And all this is a meeting about accountability, right? What are you doing in your respective districts to address crime or to address community policing? What are you doing that's proactive? What are you doing in reaction to crimes in certain areas? What's successful? What's not? We need to share that information. But it's every 2 weeks where we convene together and do what's best for the neighborhoods in the city of Boston. It's definitely a necessity. So we go over the hot spots. We go over the major and impact players in the city. And then the district captains and bureau chiefs are held accountable when we question them, like, okay, what are you doing about this series of shootings? What are you doing about this quality of life issue? What are you doing about moving violations, crosswalk violations? So it's all encompassing and where we actually sit and share. And it's definitely not an adversarial platform or meeting at all. This is an information sharing meeting where we want to go forward and use the best practices. Whatever works for one district should work for the other. And it's a great accountability piece as well. And may I add another acronym, PAM, Personnel Analysis Meeting. Every 2 weeks you have that too. The district captains I alluded to earlier in the specialized unit, we meet every 2 weeks to go over the personnel to see what's going on with that specific officer in that district. And it's a part of officer wellness, but it's also a tool that we use to make sure that we have the best officers out there acting in the best manner in our job, which is to serve the people of Boston.
So parallel meetings designed to be specifically targeted around individuals, whether individuals in law enforcement or individuals who you may want to pay particular attention to.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that it's also a great tool to show all of the districts the importance of networking. So the onus isn't solely on the police like the mayor alluded to. So we have city cabinet, we have the private sector, institutions of higher learning, medical, and even our professional sports teams that we all work with together to make the quality of life better in Boston.
Mayor Walsh, did you flag you wanted to add something?
Yeah, what I find amazing about ComStat is, and I've been to several meetings, is sharing best practices and understanding that dealing with certain situations in neighborhoods might be different in other neighborhoods. And I think the captains and the command staff get a chance to talk about that. And they also share and talk to other people. The commissioner is always talking to folks from around the country about what might be working in other cities and how does that work. And, you know, it really is an amazing way of trying to deal with different situations. For example, I call the commissioner today on a couple of the shootings we've had in Boston over the last couple of weeks. Some of the situations around them seem a little similar, and you know, he said, I'm on it. And we're talking about, he's already talked to certain bureau chiefs about what are they doing about different things. So it really is a good way, knowing that the Boston Police Department communicate with each other on a regular basis, in that the captains in each district, as I said earlier, sometimes the situations in different districts are different, but a lot of times they have a common core similarity, and they're able to work on that.
So I want to go to callers in a minute, but before I do, for some of our listeners, ComStat will resonate as part of the broken windows approach to policing, right, which, as you both know, has been quite controversial. So, Chief Commissioner, where do you come down on broken windows as an approach?
So I met the author. And under the Davis administration, he was brought back, and I had several conversations with him. So it's all how the agency itself interprets broken windows. So for BPD, it's about identifying the families, right, that are having the most challenges and finding out why some of the children or adults in that family are committing to a life of crime and helping to fix the family unit. So broken windows, everyone's thinking about that building that you beautify to show that you care, and everyone's concerned. What about broken families? So that concept of broken windows for BPD is trying to help out broken families. You take care of the families that are having the most challenges, your neighborhood will be beautified in more ways than one. So it's not just going after low-level crimes, and if you take care of this, then you know, it'll take care of the bigger crimes. You have to get to the root cause of what's going on, and that's the families. And so when you're out there and you're investigating crimes, no matter how slight, we have to find out why people are committed to the crimes. And if you are not getting it, you cannot be rehabilitated or shown the right way, then maybe you'll have to be rehabilitated on the other side.
Let's take a call here. We've got Jimmy from Dedham on the line. Jimmy, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Go ahead.
Sure. I agree with the commissioner as far as the family structure. That is the nucleus of the family, and that needs to be addressed. But also, I'd like to applaud the mayor for hiring the commissioner, a man of color, but also employment plays a major factor.
Absolutely.
If the kids and these young adults don't have the jobs and the city's not providing jobs for them, lucrative jobs where they can maybe provide for their families, provide for their children if they have them, I feel like all of it is for naught, because I bet at the root of all the issues is a financial component.
Listeners, you are essential to this conversation. Keep calling in at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mayor Walsh and Commissioner Gross, I want to add another voice to the comments we just heard from Jimmy. Mona Lisa Smith, who runs the nonprofit organization Mothers for Justice and Equality.
Great woman.
Yeah. She says that she fully supports many of the city's efforts, like the Neighborhood Trauma Team and police community partnerships. She says also we have more to do. Let's listen to what she has to say.
I feel that, you know, that we are supported. Do I think that there's enough funding? No. I think there's other services that need to be done. One is that we have to reinforce getting people jobs. Two is we have to reinforce more mental health and emotional wellness services. Three, we have to support grassroots movements and organizing. Those are the folks that are meeting people one-to-one where they are.
Mayor Walsh, what are your responses both to the caller and to Mona Lisa Smith?
Well, to Mona Lisa, first of all, I agree with her. In this year's budget for the school department, we've increased counselors in our schools and also nurses in our schools. And part of that is getting to the root of problems that young people have at a very young age. And if this goes untreated, if trauma goes untreated at a young age, then obviously we're setting our young people up for failure. So we're working on that side of it in the school side. And then our trauma counselors and some other folks, the police department trauma teams, are working on the other side. When it comes to jobs, thank you, Jimmy, for calling. Jimmy's right. You know, we do provide hundreds of jobs in the city of Boston for adults and younger people, if you will. A lot of the violence that we're seeing in Boston is not being driven by 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olders. It's being driven by 35 to 45-year-olders. And we've created some programs. Operation Exit is one of those. It's a job training program in the city of Boston. And we've also worked on some of our own employment internally to create opportunities for people. These are six-month temporary jobs, if you will. These used to be the old 30-day appointments back in the day. And to give people a chance to prove themselves and to potentially get on the rolls of the city. And I've asked and I've worked with companies to create opportunities for people, not just with college degrees, but what about people that have a high school diploma that might have gone to jail or fallen upon hard times? And people have been generally helpful. So we are creating opportunities. And right now unemployment is at 2.2% or something in the city of Boston, the lowest it's ever been. But part of the issue is, too, people need to want to go to work. It's simply providing a job is one thing, but they need to show up and they need to go to work and they need to work hard. And we're going to do everything we can to continue those opportunities.
So summer job skills and job building skills for young people is an important part of developing their work readiness over time. A big part of your youth engagement strategy has been the Success Link Jobs
program. But let's separate the two for a minute, because I think that sometimes we kind of lump everyone in together. So on that side, what you're just talking about, you're absolutely right.
That's youth. That's
the
people.
Young people, high school students, maybe freshmen in college, about roughly almost 11,000 jobs per summer, both about 8,000, 9,000 in the private sector, 3,000 or 4,000 in the public sector. Those are Success Links and through the Private Industry Council. Those are those jobs. And I think what Jimmy was talking about was the next level of
older adults.
Yeah, and that's a real issue. And how do you access those jobs? And how do you access those opportunities? Because you're talking about somebody that doesn't have a resume, has a query, probably doesn't have much of a work history, spent some time incarcerated. And when they come out, they don't have any place to turn. So naturally, human nature is you go back to the corner. And you end up doing what you did in the past, and that's what's going to happen. And we're trying to break that cycle with the Office of Returning Citizen, the Office of Public Safety, working with our police, probation, and the courts, and our district attorney, and trying to create opportunities. Those things, we need to continue to do those, and he's absolutely right. Yeah, we need to do more of them. Just like Mona Lisa was right about putting more resources, she talked about money, but resources means more opportunity for employment as well.
And what I like that the mayor does and that we practice, we don't reach down in pity. We reach out to lift up. But we want you to meet us halfway. And nothing we do is condescending. We're all about
what
uplifting.
Does it mean to meet you halfway?
Meet us halfway, like the mayor says. Are you willing to come and work with us? Like Operation Exit, you know? This is some of our top players in the city. And
top players meaning high-impact
high-impact
players, members?
Right, or used to be, or associated. But the thing is, we're like, hey, you know, there's a strong likelihood, you're being from the age from 25 to 35, that your life of crime is going to lead to incarceration, death, or something of that nature. Meet us halfway. Come in. Learn about union trade apprenticeships. Meet us halfway. Come in. Listen to us. Take the classes. And we'll help you get the jobs.
So I have so many questions for you, but our listeners have even more. The lines are full, so I'm going to try to take some calls. Mary Ann from Pawtucket, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, it's Mary Ann. What's on my mind is I'd like to get involved. I'm a certified school counselor, and I have many hours toward education, special education, and I'd like to get involved. How can I work with these families?
So, Mr. Mayor, Commissioner?
In the city of Boston, you want to get involved, Marian?
Yes, I do.
Then why don't you stay on the line and we'll ask the controller in the back to take your phone number and I'll have somebody reach out to you. How's that?
Of course. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yep. See, listeners, you are essential to this conversation. Let's hear from another caller. Hasmeen from Roslindale is calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm really interested in the point that was made about addressing the root causes of crime.
Yes.
And I know that what was mentioned was kind of going to the nucleus and going to families. But I also feel that there is a huge importance in understanding that crime is based in systems of oppression that disproportionately affect people of color and people of low income. And also that the policing system was based off of, capturing escaped slaves. And so
I know I'm a brother.
Can be done. Yeah. So what can be done really with this institution of policing to acknowledge the roots and to also move it in a new direction where there is a clear commitment not only to taking off a crime that is statistically available, but to really addressing the real root causes beyond
question.
The family, but these systems that many people are privileging from.
Hasmin, stay there for a second. Let me give the commissioner a chance to answer you.
Love to answer that. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. First of all, that's an excellent question, and I'm glad you had a direct question because, I'm a kid from Hillsborough, Maryland that came to Boston during forced busing in 1975, and now I'm commissioner because the community helped raise me. But also, I am a student of history, so everything that you said is correct. First of all, for departments to move forward, you must acknowledge the past and what has happened in the past, relationships with neighborhoods of color or those suffering from poor socioeconomic strife. The way you move forward is you learn from your mistakes, teachable learning moments. So let's reflect back quickly to the shootings across America under the Obama administration, the controversial police incidents involving men of color in the community. And the president ordered a study of 21st century policing. And at the end of that study, people were in shock when he said, if you want to learn about community policing, go to Boston. So here's what we have in Boston, just to address those issues. Always acknowledge the past, teachable learning moments. And when you train your officers, whether they're in the academy or on the street, fair and impartial policing, de-escalation, procedural justice, act like you have some common sense. And if you want to teach, bring in the people from the community, like Mona Lisa Smith or Tina Cherry, NAACP, the Urban League, the teens, the seniors, LGBTQ, so that your officers will have empathy, sympathy, care, and respect. So it's about training, learning, and changing the warrior class mentality to one where you are all-inclusive and you're working under community policing with people who will work in partnership to improve the quality of lives and change the old ways and old systems.
Let's add another caller voice here. Laura from West Roxbury, thanks for calling in. Share your thoughts with us.
Oh, hi. I don't know if we have real gang problems here. I'm sure we do, but I'm not that familiar. But there's a whole policing method where they isolate the most vicious or the most dangerous gang person, and then somehow they're able to murders go down and things get better. Are you familiar with that? I'm sure you are.
Mayor Walsh, let me turn to you. I think what Laura from West Roxbury is talking about is the idea of targeting high-impact gang members. Can you talk a little more about that?
Part of what we do with Operation Exit, it's been 104 graduates, about an 85% success rate of people graduating that program, getting into the building trades. That is part of the reason. I think the reason why we're seeing success in some of our rates going down is that there are so many great community partners doing this work. And the impacts it's having is by creating opportunities. Now, whether that opportunity is at a very young age with community service helping people or in an older age showing that you love somebody and you want to give them a hug and support them, that's being helpful. And I think that we're seeing that. I mean, we're not seeing the Bloods and the Crips, if you will, like a movie here in Boston, but we do have gangs and we do have leaders of those, and we have people that follow them. And it is about finding out who these kind of ringleaders are. And rather than locking them up, how do we help lift them up? I mean, if we have to lock them up, the commissioner says we'll lock them up, but would much prefer to get them into a program, get them into a positive opportunity for themselves, to let them know that their life value means something. and that somebody else's life value means something as well. And that's what we've been doing. And there's a lot of great, we could sit here for an hour and a half rattling off all the great work. Mona Lisa Smith, with the work that she does. Tina Sherry, who lost her son to gun violence, is out there talking to mothers who lose their son and mothers whose sons took somebody's life. She's out there trying to create opportunity. So I think a lot of the great work that's been done so far is having success. We have to stay at it. This is not something that we can back away from. This is constant, and it's constantly moving forward.
Long term.
All right. Mayor and Commissioner, I think this is actually a good time for us to take a quick break. Yeah. So please stay with us. Coming up, listeners, we're going to have more with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Police Commissioner William Gross. Keep calling in at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.
Wait a second.
Don't hit the skip button.
I mean, we know you do it.
We just wanted to take a second here because you already know how to download a podcast.
But you might have a question about some of the other technology you use, and we think we can help.
WBUR is working on a new show, and we're here to answer your tech questions, whether it's hardware-related,
software-related, social, even ethical.
Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and give us a call. Leave a message, 617-917-4717.
Give it a try, 617-917-4717.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we have in the studio with us Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Police Commissioner William Gross. Mayor Walsh, thanks for staying with us through the break.
Oh, you're welcome.
Commissioner Gross, we're glad that you're here. Before the break, I heard a good deal from both of you about the importance of our very strong community organizations in Boston. You listed several. Others that come to mind are Inner City Weightlifting and Youth Connect and a number of organizations really involved in being authentically engaged with community members and with the city.
And our clergy.
And our clergy, that's right. Who the clergy, by the way, I think were central to the Boston miracle that often gets held up as part of the success story of the city of Boston. I want to bring another voice from the community in. We spoke earlier today with Monica Cannon Grant. She's a community organizer and the founder of Violence in Boston. She says what's different now versus what happened during the Boston miracle isn't about funding as much as it is about coordination. Let's listen for a sec.
Back in the 90s, we used to go door to door, knocking on doors, talking to residents, figuring out what the needs were, and providing direct service. I think right now we're resource rich and the coordination sucks. You have to dial 15 phone numbers to get help in this city. I think we need to mobilize. I think we need to have the involvement of the trauma team. And I think that we mobilize and actually touch the individuals that are being impacted.
Let me just ask for a general reaction from either of you to that.
Monica does some good work in the city. I have a relationship with her. We talk not as much as we probably should, but we talk. We created the Office of Public Safety for coordination purposes. Prior to the Office of Public Safety, this city had many different inlets into figuring out how you move forward. We created that office to actually try not bring everything under one roof, because you're talking about nonprofits and individuals like Monica who do a lot of their work, not with themselves, but with other folks. I think actually coordination is key right now, and I think it's been the best coordination in the city that's in the last 30 years, quite honestly. I know the Boston Miracle is something that they talked about, but if you look at what's happening now in the city of Boston and the amount of resources and the amount of money that's being spent, I think one of the things that Monica's frustrated with, and that I am too, and I agree with her, is that I don't think there's always a collaboration amongst all the different organizations on the groups of people they're working on, and are people being held accountable for the money they're getting and what the work they're doing. I think that's one thing that we could do better coordination on.
So you announced at the beginning of our show today that Talia Rivera is the new director of SOAR. We actually had Talia on a couple of weeks ago here on the program, and she spoke about how she feels the way violence happens in Boston has changed, what it used to look like, what it looks like today. I'd like to listen to that for a second.
Now it's a lot more sporadic, right? It's all over the place. It's not like defined or confined to a corner anymore. So if I happen to see you and I'm from H Block and you happen to be in Lynn, right, living mm-hmm. with your baby's mom, I'm going to get you out there. So I think it's just a lot more spread out. So it looks a little different and a little harder to contain.
So Commissioner Gross, first, yes. Do you agree with that characterization? And how does that change the dynamic of coordination when it's more spread out and harder to contain?
So the comment to Ms. Cannon as well. She's a mother that's kind of lived through tragedies in her neighborhood. So she's doing exactly what we preach. Let's listen to your voice. Constructive criticism shouldn't be taken personally. It's an opportunity for us to educate people about the questions and also to work together in partnership, like the mayor said. So, you know, I applaud her voice. She's always using her voice because she's actually lived through these tragedies, unlike other folks who get things from books. But there is a different game out there now when it comes to crime. Number one, everyone has a cell phone. So trust me, the bad guys are very coordinated. So things before that would take a while for something to get to you can get to you instantly. Someone disrespecting a grave, someone disrespecting your community, someone disrespecting you. A lot of that's through cell phones and social media. And there's like instant spontaneous reactions that she stated. And that's what we have to deal with.
So our lines are full again. I'm going to turn to a caller, Alan from Dorchester. Thanks for calling, Alan. Share your thoughts with us.
Hi there. I just wanted to give a shout out to Volley Against Violence. It's a program that's organized by the Boston Police Department with Sportsman's Tennis Club in Dorchester. I know I've seen Commissioner Gross there before as well.
Don't tell him how I played.
How did you play?
I did very well, thank you.
Alan, go ahead. Sorry.
But anyway, they have a program on Friday nights. They get kids off the streets and into the tennis club, put rackets in their hands, working directly with Boston Police Department and volunteers. And it's a great opportunity for kids to get some good role models and get off of the streets.
And Miss Terry Wiley as well.
And who is Terry Wiley for our listeners?
She's the coordinator, the director of Volley Against Violence.
At Sportsman's Tennis Club.
Right.
Let's take another call. John from Worcester, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was wondering if the mayor would be willing to call the mayor of Minneapolis and ask him about what happened yesterday morning. ICE agents surrounded a car, and they the person inside would not get out, and they broke the window of the car to get to him. And I think something should be done. If that's done in Boston, those ICE agents should be arrested. You know, they have no right to be breaking property like that, breaking and entering, anything of the sort, in order to arrest somebody unless that person is an actual criminal.
So, John, and I hear your concern. What would be your question for the mayor to follow on to becoming aware of that?
My question is, would he be willing to have the police follow ICE agents and ensure that they don't break the law?
Okay, thanks for that call, John.
First of all, I'll call Mayor Fry in Minneapolis just to see what happened yesterday. But we don't have the resources to have first of all, we don't know where ICE agents are unless we get a call. And we don't have the resources to be out arresting ICE agents. But I do think that I don't know if it's connected to the Trump threatening of undocumented immigrants this last week in this country. Certainly, we are not going to be working with ICE agents. Boston Police Department will not be working with ICE agents on any type of immigration plan that's looking to arrest people for overstaying visas or being here undocumented. We're not going to do that. That's not going to happen in the city of Boston.
Violent crime.
Only violent crime. But I think that I'll have to check with Mayor Fry to see what happened in Minneapolis. It's first I heard of it, so let me look into that and see what the story is.
Listeners, this is your opportunity to speak with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh.
Let me give you an example.
Right,
so let's talk about Minneapolis for a minute and people listening on the radio. If the Boston Police Department surrounded a car and they wanted to apprehend somebody who wouldn't let them out, they would figure a way of negotiating their way into the car. That's the difference. The training that our police department has and the way they handle situations. And there's been many situations in our city that have been very difficult situations that the police have used restraint and used their skills and their training techniques that were trained of them. We've had police officers in Boston that fake guns have been pulled on them, and they've used their restraint and not responded by using their gun. So there's a lot of it goes back to training. In ICE agents is another situation. They're separating families, mothers from babies. And I'd be willing to bet that under this administration in Washington, they have zero training in any of this stuff. And that's what's disgusting and disgraceful of what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the ICE agents.
Let's take one more call. Melanie from Dorchester, you're on the line. Tell us what's on your mind.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the importance of being proactive and not just having these conversations, because the mayor made a good point about going into these communities and helping these gang members instead of locking them up. But I've grew up and lived in Dorchester. I'm 25 years old, and I actually don't see this happening. What I see is police coming in, racial profiling, and, you know, locking up these young men and even women that are involved in these gang violence instead of talking to them and motivating them and helping them get jobs that actually pay well and that they can help their families and their community. But instead, they're just coming in and just assuming that they're destroying the community. So it's important to actually be proactive and do these things that we plan on doing instead of just having conversations about it, because those living in the community are the ones actually living and seeing what's going on.
Melanie, let me invite the commissioner to respond to you. Commissioner Gross.
Oh, thank you. I disagree. And there may be some instances where people are looking from the outside. When we arrest someone, it's because they committed a crime, okay? And what service are we doing in the community? So I'm a member of the black community. I know how it feels if I'm a victim of crime and the police showed up and nothing was done. Often what's said to me is like, this wouldn't happen in West Roxbury, it wouldn't happen in Hyde Park. So in response to that, if you're committing crimes, you know, we will lock people up. But we were also interested in finding out in the root cause of why you committed the crime. That's why we have the several programs and initiatives that we actually do talk to the mothers and fathers. For instance, young men and women get locked up. That's not it. We have licensed clinical social workers in our police station. It's called Youth Connect, where they then go and work with the family to find out what the problem is and educate the family about what's available not only to the family of the member that's incarcerated, but also the siblings as well. Strong relationship with the clergy, private sector, and everyone that we talked about earlier that are doing positive things in the community. So I don't forget where I came from. I don't forget about the negative history of BPD, but we're definitely moving forward. And one of the things that we welcome is constructive criticism, because this allows you to educate you about our over 20 programs and initiatives and our partnerships in the community. And trust me, I know gang members, I know street workers, I know my senior network. If someone's rights are being abused, I get contacted. So we're not
Melanie,
seeing that like it is in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Melanie, let me ask you, does the commissioner's answer satisfy the concern
you raised? We are
proactive,
you're right. But if she has concerns, good. We need to do a better job at educating folks about what we're
doing. Give her a chance.
Sorry,
I couldn't
hear you because he was speaking.
No, I'm just asking you, did that satisfy the concerns that you were raising? Did that address the question that you called in with?
It addresses it, but I don't necessarily agree, because I do agree with some of it. Like, yeah, I could be moving forward, but being a gang member and being outside and there's a situation going on and the police comes in, they are concerned that you're a gang member, and they will, even if they're arresting you, you know, to be questioned, or if you're just in the area, you're still a victim of the situation. So I feel like I agree with what the mayor was saying as far as, like, talking to the gang members and, you know, just seeing what's going on and letting them know that there's other options is the better choice.
Thanks, Melanie. We're gonna finish addressing your call with Melanie offline, because we've only got a couple minutes left.
Let me real
mayor
quick,
Walsh, go ahead.
Real quick for Melanie, just so if you look at the numbers from 2014 to today, our arrests are way down in Boston. And just so you might not see this, but what usually happens, if we see an area that's an active area, we generally, you'll see police presence there because the community will want it. But what you might not see there is street workers, now soil workers, in the centers out there working to try and de-escalate a situation that's out there. You might have two rival areas going at it with each other. They're out there trying to, you know, figure out opportunities and options for young people. The reason why we're seeing a lot of the numbers go in a downward spiral, minus shootings are up this year. That I can't hide that one. But what we're trying to do is really get out there and get to the core and the heart of it. We use community outreach. We use our BCYF centers. We'll use Boys and Girls Clubs. We'll use our clergy. We'll do our peace walks. We try to do as much as we can on the front end, because the last thing the last thing we want to do is arrest people. People aren't getting arrested for just hanging on the corner.
Right.
There's generally something connected to that.
Is there a challenge once people are arrested? I mean, we read reports that there's a challenge with getting people to then want to prosecute, to testify, to name who maybe shot them or has committed a crime. So how do the police manage that challenge and build that trust with the community?
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked that question again. Because you've heard in the past folks like,
I'm sorry, I got to tell you, we got about 45 seconds
okay,
for that
here
hard
we go.
Question.
Guess what? The community is helping out. We had an 8-year-old shot on July 4th. Within 8 days, because of the community's help, that crime, there were two arrests made. This old notion, stop snitching, this and that, a lot of communities are really coming forward. A lot of community members are coming forward, and they are helping out. But we have to make sure that we have the resources available to, again, identify root causes. But people are, in our community, stepping up and helping us with investigations. So I'd like to thank them.
And Mayor Walsh, 10 seconds, last word.
Just thank everyone who called in and being involved in the conversation. And, if you have any suggestions, call us at 311 City Hall. Let us know. Those of you that are listening outside, if you have any ideas on what's happening, you see something, always pass along your ideas. You never know what idea is the perfect idea that we're not thinking of.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, thanks for coming in today to Radio Boston.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
And
thank
Police
you.
Commissioner William Gross, thanks so much for being here. Listeners, stay
Pleasure.
With us. There is more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.